was, I just want to read from, read right at the very beginning, from Ephesians 6. I just want to read you the part of Ephesians 6 where it talks about the armour of God. We spoke, people spoke about the armour of God before, but I want to come at it from a different way today. And if you've got your Bibles, you want to follow me? I'm reading from the New King James. No, I'm not. I'm reading from the NIV. That's habit, that was saying that. I'm reading from the NIV. Ephesians 6, verse 10. And this is at the end of this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. And right at the end of it, after all of the stuff, he's spoken to them about Jesus and about how to live and, you know, you go through it and instructions for Christian households, how we're supposed to work together as man and wife and families together. Right at the end of it, as if he knew there was a reason for putting this in at the end, he says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on. I want little phrases for you to hold on to this morning. First phrase there, put on. Be strong in the Lord, number one. Number two, put on. Not the armour of God, but put on the full armour of God. I'll get into that hopefully in a little while. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand, there's that word again, your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So, after you stood, he says, after you've done everything, stand. And he starts the next sentence with the same word again. There's two stands together here. After you have done everything to stand, he says then, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we normally finish there, but I want to go one more verse on, or perhaps a couple of verses on. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit. On all occasions. Not just pray, but pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Sometimes we just pray when we're in trouble. So pray on all occasions. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. We laugh and we're joyful with those who are laughing and joyful. You know, on all occasions, pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. He goes on then saying, well, pray for me. Don't leave me out of the equation. I need your prayers. I need you to be, you know, just backing me up, standing with me in prayer. So that's what it says about the armour of God. We talk here about truth being that belt. Stand then, firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And Roman soldiers, you've heard this many times before, the belt was so important, you know, because you could hoist your knickers up into it and your toga up into your belt, and it held everything together when you put your arm around you. You see, when you want to fight, when the soldier fought, you don't want anybody to be able to grab hold of any loose-fitting garment. That's why this belt was there. It took everything in. And sometimes we need belts, don't we? So it took it all in. You know, go in the loose-flying bits, you know, so that anybody can grab hold in battle and pull you down. Streamline. Put on the belt of truth. you know, this belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. It's so important. It covers the vital organs, the vital parts of our body. It's here to protect us, this righteousness. And then it says about the shoes prepared, shoes of peace to go and to tell about the love of Jesus to a world that needs to know about him. This preparedness says here, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the message of peace. You know, in a world that's hurting and hating, you know, in a world that's warring and fighting, we need to be bringing a message of peace. You know, give pity with the shoes. You know, Roman soldiers' boots were full of hobnails. It enabled them to not only have longer length and wear on his shoes, his boots, but it enabled him to grip in times of difficulty. When you're on a muddy old battlefield, you know, you want to be able to just dig your feet in and hold. You know, bringing, but we're not talking about battling in this way. We're talking about having feet shod with the gospel of peace, the message of peace to a hurting world. And then the shield of faith. You know, I'm not talking about little tiny shields that the ancient Greeks used to have, the wooden shield covered in leather or whatever it was. I'm talking about the fort, Roman John, big one, standing on the ground and get behind it. You know, this is this shield that here that Paul is talking about, the shield of faith. My faith in him is going to be my protection in all situations, in all situations today. And then the helmet of salvation, helmet of salvation. And it says, and that's almost the same verse then, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet and the sword. And you know, really all of those bits of equipment that he talks about here are equipment for our protection, not for our fighting. See, the helmet that protects our head, the breastplate protects our vital organs, the shield protects us completely, the shoes are there to protect our feet. I tell you what, you want to bring a soldier down, hack at his feet. That will soon fetch him to the floor. Are your shoes, are your feet shod with the shoes with the gospel message of peace today? The helmet, the belt that tucks it all in and holds it together. These are all things that protect us. And I just want to come from this at a different angle today. I don't want to just say that. I just really believe in my heart that we have this armour, this godly armour that Paul is talking about here for our protection. Not just for our warring, because I want to just bring you to a place today when you realise just how much Jesus has already done. How much he's fought the battles, so you don't have to fight the battles. Just how much he's dealt with this and he's dealt with that, so you don't have to deal with this and that. I want you to be able to look, by the time I finish this morning, upon these attributes of protection as if it was putting on Jesus today. Putting on him. Because when we look at the scriptures today, John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14, it talks about two of these attributes that Paul has spoken about. It talks about, well, I'll read it to you. It says, the Word, him, God, the Word became flesh, Jesus, and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one only Son who came from the Father, Jesus, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the living Word. I'll put that bit on the end. The rest is just taken from Scripture. Jesus is the living Word. So where Paul talks about here, the Word, the sword, he talks about putting on Jesus. Put on him. And when he talks about the truth, doesn't it say there, full of grace and truth? Who is full of grace and truth? Jesus is full of grace and truth. We need to learn to put on Jesus every day as we fight life's battles. Righteousness, What is that? It's about us being put in right standing. Before ever we went to God, God came to us and enabled us to have right standing with Him through His Son, Jesus. It says there in Romans 3:21-22, this isn't the scripture, but this is my interpretation of it. It says, God's righteousness is given to us by faith in Jesus. So it talks about putting on righteousness, this breastplate. Let's put on Jesus and protect our vital parts. Protect everything that's important to us. The breastplate of Jesus. The belt, the truth of Jesus that holds us all together. The word, the fighting bit, but not meant really in that way. Yes, we have to stand, as the word says, and stand, and stand, and stand, and stand. Sometimes we don't like to stand, do we? Sometimes we like to fight. So often we fight when we ought to be standing, and we stand when we ought to be fighting, but we need to know the difference of it. But I'm really positive in my heart of us. Sought the scriptures and prayed about this, that in so many occasions God just wants us to stand still and let Him do the fighting. Let Him sort out the situation. Let Him put things right. You know, we can run around like headless chickens in church, trying to do things, new things. How can we do this? How can we do that? How can I sort this out? How can I sort that out? And as if God's pleading and saying, let me sort it for you. Let me sort it for you. And peace. You all know this, Isaiah 9:6. Put on peace, these shoes of peace, it says here, and He, that's Jesus, will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's my Jesus this morning, our Prince of Peace. Let's put Him on this morning. Let's put Him on as our shoes. Let's wear the Prince of Peace and let's be able to stand in all that comes our way. And faith, this shield of faith, this huge thing. And if I've not been going up the time this morning to go there, but if you look in Psalm 35:2, Psalmist there talks about the Lord God being his shield. You know, all my prayer is that when trouble comes, I can say, You, O Lord, are my shield. You're my protector in this situation. You're my protector when everything is going wrong around me. You are there for me. Hold that shield up. Know who you are in Him. Get behind, tuck yourself behind the shield. Hold on to that faith that you have. And lastly, in this section here, the helmet of salvation found in Acts. In many places, but here in Acts 4:11-12, and he actually says there that salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. Oh, to put it on, protect the head. You see, we're protecting our head, our breast, our front, our vital organs, our heart, and all the stuff that without them we're gone. Is protecting all that. Our feet are shod, we're all sorted out with there. We've got this massive great big shield in front of us like that. We've got our belt done up so there's nothing trailing, nothing for the enemy to get a grip on, because we've tucked it all in, we're sorted. There's a men's magazine, Christian magazine called Sorted. You know, we're sorted in Jesus this morning. Sorted me out. I've got my belt done up tight, I've got my helmet on, I've got my breastplate on, I've got my shoes on. I've got the sword, His word, in my hand, and I've got my shield of faith stuck there. Don't get blasé and say, enemy, come and get me. Let's not be silly, but just realise we've got everything in Jesus. So we need to be putting on Jesus today to help us through the situations in life. Just got a few scriptures for you today. Don't try and follow me, it's going to be too much. If you want some notes, I can get some notes for you. I just want to just say a few things here and back up this thing about standing. Because this is where I feel that the crux of my message is today. It's about being able to stand. You know? Do you remember when David went to fight Goliath and Saul gave him his armour and said, try it on, you know, and there was little David with a man's armour on, like, you know, couldn't move, couldn't pull a sword. You see, he wasn't equipped to carry a man's armour. And I really believe that God wants us as his children to grow enough to be able to put on this armour. To be able to do it ourselves, to carry it. And some of us try to carry this armour, we're not ready to carry the armour. And I really believe he wants to take us on in himself, deeper into him, so that we're able to carry this stuff that's going to protect us in times of difficulty, in times of trouble. In Galatians 5, verse 1, these are all references to standing firm, different parts of Scripture. Galatians 5, 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul was explaining to the converts that they were children of promise and were no longer under the law. He's talked about Ishmael, and he's talked about the fact is that that's a legal side, but if you're coming under Sarah or Hagar, we're children of Sarah this morning, born a promise, right through from Abraham, right through to today. We are children of promise. And he's promised that through Jesus, he said, you know, you're no longer under law. Why be yoked in slavery when I've released you? Why go back to how it was when I've released you into the freedom? So it's to stand firm then. Don't let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery again. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Paul here encouraging the Corinthian converts that they were now clothed with the imperishable and the death would no longer have its victory over them. It's the passage where it says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? No more, because we have eternal life in Christ. Stand firm, hold on to what I've told you. You know, don't let anything move you. So many Christians are moved by what people say and what people think and what people do. Encourage you this morning, don't be moved by what people say. Be moved by what God says in your heart. Be moved by what the Holy Spirit whispers into your spirit. That's when you want to be moved. Not by what people say, whether people like you or hate you. God loves you. And he loves you with a love that is so precious that we'll never understand it till we meet him face to face. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Here Paul was encouraging the converts that they were loved by the Lord. Just as I'm trying to encourage you this morning. You are loved by him. Don't care how you feel. We're not moved by what we see or we feel. We are moved by our relationship with God. Our spirit moves us. But so often we're moved because people don't say hello, or people don't shake my hand, or people do this, or people snub me, or this person or that person. Let's not be moved by those things. Let's be moved by God. And he's there saying to the people, come on, folks, the church in Thessalonia, stand firm. Don't be moved by all these external things. You know, just hold on. You know, hold on to the words that we've shared with you, what we've been with you. Whether by word of mouth or by letter that I send, just be encouraged to go on, stand firm. Exodus, right in the very, towards the very beginning of our Bibles, Exodus. I'll put you in the picture here. Here was the children of Israel just being released by Pharaoh to go out of Egypt. And they come to the Red Sea, and there's this huge ocean in front of them, and there's the might of Pharaoh's army and chariots behind them, because they sort of had sort of second thoughts, because the children of Israel seem to be wavering in the desert a bit and not trapped between the old and the new. And that's where many Christians are today. They're trapped between the old and the new, wavering at the river. And there was the children of Israel saying, this is my crazy version of it, come on Moses, what are you doing? Are there not enough graves for you in Egypt that you would bring us here, that we would die in this place? But God had told Moses that he would deal with the Egyptians. He told Moses that it was going to be okay. But all this grumbling that was going on for the people, why have you brought us here? What are you doing, man? Did you not care about us? You're bringing us to this awful place, a place where we're trapped. And if you feel trapped today, I just want to encourage you that Jesus has a way for you today. He wouldn't have you trapped. He wouldn't have you stuck between a rock and a hard place. Maybe you come to your Sea of the Red Sea. He says Sea of Galilee, wrong sea. Maybe you come to your Red Sea today. And maybe there's marauding hordes chasing behind you. The past. And don't let your, I've over 75 said this, you'll get sick of it. Don't let your past cripple your future. You know? And there was this situation, you can just imagine it in your mind's eye. And what does God say? Just raise your stick, Moses. I'm going to take the people through the sea. Or can you imagine the moment when he raised his stick and he put confusion. See, they had the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud at the front of them to follow, and then God switched it to the back. Covered their backs, you see. While Moses opened the waters through the power of God, God was just troubling the Egyptians. You know, wheels falling off the chariots and stuff in the mud and all this sort of stuff was going on. Sorry to labour on this, but I think it's important I stay here for a while, because this is where I feel so many Christians are today. They want to move on, but there's like a love of Egypt, because I don't know what's going to happen on this side of the ocean. I know what happens there, and although it was slavery, we had food and we could live. But, you know, where are you taking us to? This is what Moses said to the people. He said, Moses answered the people, said, do not be afraid, stand firm. And you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. God does not tell us to do some stupid things at times, isn't it? In our own mind's eye. Be still. Just stand. But don't you see what's coming behind me? Yeah. I've got a clue what's in front of me, besides what this Moses guy has said, but can you not see? Moses, get a life. Be real. It's all about faith, isn't it? It's about trust. So you shove the stick in the air, the waves opened. I don't care what people say about the river only being 2 inches deep and they went through and whatever. Forget that. My Bible says it was a sea and a wall of water was between them, either side of them, and it took them all night to go through it. A lot of people went through. And God troubled the Egyptians behind, held them up, caused confusion, did all sorts of stuff. And when they got to the other side, said to Moses, close it up again. And the water came down. And it drowned all of them. And what God had said, these Egyptians you will see today, you will never see again. You know, and I think it's like our past histories. And God says it's time to let go of Egypt and move into the promised land. But you'll have many years of travelling around the desert because of their disobedience, because they wouldn't hear. But church, I really believe that God wants to implant a message in our hearts today. And it says, stand and be still. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying to you. As I said at the beginning of this message, I'll be finishing shortly, a couple of minutes. He actually, as I said before, all of those armour parts were for our protection. But did you notice there was nothing on the back? Because that just opened up to me that God protects our backs. When we are looking forward to Him, He puts a protection on our backs. When we are facing in the right direction, when we have the right heart, He sorts our backs out. If we've got the foot right, if we're hiding behind our shield, if we're protected, if we've got everything and all the bits in place, we don't have to worry about our backs. And as Christians, we don't have to turn our back on the enemy. We face our enemy coming forward because God is with us. The Word says He will never forsake us, never leave us, the Word says. And maybe you're saying this morning, you say, stand still, God? But what about all this? What about all that? Folks, we need to learn that we're not called to stand in our strength. We're called to stand in His strength. And we confuse it. I confuse it. So often, I find myself doing something and then saying, why are you doing this? It's not about standing in what we've done, our experience, what we've known in the past. Forget what you've known in the past, because I think God has so much for us in the future that's new and fresh and wonderful. It's about getting a revelation, a real revelation of His grace. So many people in the church believe that when we mess up, we have to go back to the beginning again. No, we don't. Are you saying that it's a one strike and you're out kind of religion that we have? And so many Christians believe that. They're believing that it's just a mess up and I'm back to where I was. Make one mistake, God doesn't love me anymore. Wrong. Can Jesus go back to the cross and do it all again? No. Was Calvary not enough? Yes, it was enough. Might suggest that we just say, sorry Lord, and get on with what God wants us to do. And not start wallowing in the stuff that's happened before, but move on to where He wants us to be. You know, I'd rather have a view of the Promised Land any day to a view of Egypt, to where I've come out of. A view of captivity, a view of a place where I was in bondage and tired of making bricks. I don't want to be making bricks in Egypt. I want to be planting new life in the Promised Land. And that's what God has for us. Calvary was enough. Jesus' sacrifice was enough for every one of us. I can't say that enough. It was enough. Don't try and make Him do it again. If you make a mistake, pick yourself up, dust yourself down, put the armour on, get behind your shield, and start all over again. No, I've had to do it. You're going to have to do it. It's not scrappy because we mess up with God. He loves us just the same. This is what He's going to do. Things are so on. Nothing I could do can make Him love me more. Keep referring to it. It's one of the songs I like. A bit old now, but the words of that song touch my heart every time she sings it. There's nothing I can do or be that can ever make Him like me anymore. There's no work I can do, ministry I can start, things I can do to make Him love me any more than He loves me right now. I'm the same with you. Nothing you can do will make Him love you more. And remember, He loved you before you loved Him. He loved me before I loved Him. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Your Bible may say something different. It may say something like, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. So the pulling down of strongholds. It means the same. You know, we haven't got to go hacking and cutting and fighting and clobbering or whatever. Jesus done it. You read about the crucifixion. It says Jesus went and stole the keys keys to our life and our future life. So that no more would we be, sort of, would death be the end, but death would be even perhaps the beginning of something with him. Romans 8:38 tells us that principalities and powers cannot keep us from God's love. Nothing that the enemy can bring will keep you from God's love. Ephesians 1:20-21 tells us that Jesus is above all principalities and all powers. Colossians 2:15 tells us that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers of the cross. Remember the song we sing in this church so often? Above all powers. We sing it. We need to learn what it means and trust him in it and say, above all powers, above everything that's going on in my life right now, Jesus, you are above it. And I'm giving, committing myself to you so that you can lead me through this. I want to learn to put on the armour and be strong and stand and listen to your voice and be still. So why do we mess up? And in closing this morning, I believe it's because we still try and do so much in our own strength. So much in our own strength. We so often turn to God only when we're desperate, cannot see a way out. We have not learned to stand firm in his strength, and we struggle to use the whole armour. The whole armour. You know, I see people using bits of the armour. And they leave themselves uncovered in other areas. We need to dress ourselves in the whole armour. And it's not some big deal. It's a simple prayer that says, Father, today, equip me. Give me that knowledge of who I am in you, that I can go and fight any battle that comes my way, because you're leading me through. You're the one I'm looking to. I'm not looking back to Egypt. I'm not looking to how I failed last time I tried to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm looking to today and how I'm going to succeed in telling somebody about Jesus. I feel I'm holding this bottle of water. I'm not coughing anymore. All military soldiers get a basic training. They all go to boot camp. They're all equipped to the right gear. They're all shown how the guns, all the stuff they have, the armour, the weapons, body armour, the stuff. They're all equipped and everything. They have the tanks and the thermal and missiles now and everything that they have to fight the battles. He or she, member of the armed forces, can have the best strategy, the best weapons, the best armour, but if they don't know how to use it, they've had it. No good. I've got all the best stuff, but I don't know how to use it. Folks, it's the same with us as Christians. We need to learn how to don the armour, what it is, what it does, how it protects, how to enter situations successfully. So many Christians today avoid the basic training they need to defeat the enemy. A sweeping statement, I know, but I've said it, can't take it back. I believe it's true. We've got to learn to put on Jesus and to stand firm. Our victory is found in what Jesus did, not what we have done or will ever do. Stand firm.